for this one, Colfax. I had myself a Red Bull, so it's going to get a little nutty today. But you know why? It's Top Text Tuesday today, presented by Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. Glad you could be with us here today. McLean just texts last night. Like, I just now saw the text, dude. I don't open up the text line until the show starts. Just a poop emoji. Just a poop emoji. What happened last night that I'm aware of, other than the Nuggets? But that was before. That text was at 7:28. The Nuggets didn't start, you know, playing a miserable first half. Or actually, not a miserable first half, but it was a miserable third until like 9. So, not sure. But it's Top Text Tuesday today. I've got the picture posted up of what you could win. It's actually a pretty cool piece. What do you call that look, Colfax? Help me out.
Well, is it stained glass? Is that glass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a church, like you would see in a church. Like,
right.
And those, that's like a really cool item. And you can plug it in and it kind of lights up. But it's a, that wood, the wood frame around it is absolutely beautiful. I think that's oak.
Yeah. I'd say it's like a... like a classic bar fixture.
Yes.
Like you see that in a bar in maybe like the 70s or 80s.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that, and it's got the Bronco logo there.
Yep.
Yeah, you could totally put that up in the man cave.
Yep.
So that's what we're competing for today. So that's going to be fun. Top Text Tuesday. If you're new to the show, you got to text KFKA to 970-478-1301. And that's how you get involved. Now, here's the standings, Colfax. Where is it? I've only got two guys on here because we just started it 2 weeks ago. So you think I can remember. Noob got one. And Pillow Fight Dan made a triumphant return last week. And he is in the mix. You guys know the rules. Every time we get a new prize, courtesy of Fresh Coat Painter South Platte, we reload this thing. And we start 0-0. First one to get three victories. Three Top Text Tuesday titles in a week. It's not a title, I guess. Wins. Gets the prize. And unfortunately for a lot of hooligans, you guys have let the arch nemesis of the show now become the only, in the history of Top Text Tuesday, the only two-time champ. The only two-time champ. I believe Dixon won the Ed McCaffrey signed football. And I think he won the David Thompson signed jersey. So you know what you're competing for. I want great texts about whatever. I don't care. Broncos related. Nuggets related from last night. No LeBron. The Lakers still find a way to win. And we could talk about the Rockies. Doubleheader today coming up on KFKA. Coverage starts in about 3 hours of that bad boy. You had a feeling it was going to be postponed, Colfax. And, of course, in the programming meeting, everybody said,
No, they'll play. Nah. They play in the rain sometimes.
Dude, baseball teams will quit if they hear a sprinkler outside of the stadium. Like, if they hear someone's lawn being watered, they're like, oh, boy, here we go. And the thing is, I'm only exaggerating a little bit there. but the Rockies will have the doubleheader starting off the series against the Giants. And, we'll see. I don't know. We're in that weird spot right now where all that drama, all the positive good vibes about Jeff Breidich happened. And then yet here we are today. With more or less just kind of, well, yeah, that's all well and good, and maybe that helps with the future down the road, but at the end of the day, we're still in a miserable position for the Rockies. Rockies announced yesterday the VP of scouting, Bill Schmidt, has been named the interim general manager. So we kind of saw that one coming. That's that story. The full story is available on our website, thewholeshow.com. Will he be long-term? According to Rocky's press release, the search will begin ASAP. But that doesn't mean that Schmidt's not in the mix. And I've said, I'm pretty clear about this, Colfax. I think the Rockies need to look elsewhere. They need to look outside of the organization. I think that's a big move. Even if Schmidt turns out to be like an amazing GM, and somebody else goes elsewhere, Rosenthal goes somewhere else and becomes an amazing GM, I think the Rockies have to look out elsewhere. They have to go outside of the organization, bring a fresh set of eyes in. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. It is Top Text Tuesday. Well, Nuggets lose last night. Bummer against the Lakers. Just, it didn't look good. They still give themselves a chance to win that game as the Nuggets are going. They're a great team. They're a great basketball team. So even when they look like they're just getting pummeled and This is an off night. I mean, Porter had 3 points in the first half. Now, Joker didn't look like himself until he got really rolling in that second half. Another 30-plus night for him. But the Lakers found a way to get it done, even without LeBron and Anthony Davis basically saying, hey, we're back. Porter ended up with 19 points and 6 boards, but supporting cast wasn't there for Denver. Joker with 32, Porter with 19. Only one other player was in double digits, and that's JaVale McGee. So, and I love JaVale. He's a three-time champ. Two or three times. Doesn't matter. I get lost in all his gold. And I love JaVale. But when he's your third best scorer, gulp. Anyway, our Power to Play Sports poll question might have made more sense yesterday. But it is the plan was to put it up today, Colfax. Are the Nuggets a better team without Jamal Murray? They're 9-2 since Jamal goes down, winning some key games, including beating the Clippers. That's like a mix between the Clippers and the Lakers. It's a new team coming to L.A. The Clippers on the road. This is one of those games where I think, oh, LeBron's not playing. They all overlooked it. Aaron Gordon didn't look good. Campazzo, who's been on fire. But you guys forget, you're putting so much pressure on Campazzo. He's a rookie. He's the third string point guard on this team. You need Monte Morris back desperately. There's a reason the Nuggets signed him to a long-term deal. They love this guy. But it does beg the question. I've been thinking about the last 11, 12 games, are the Nuggets better without Jamal Murray? And if you say yes to that, what are you doing? I had Tom moments ago said, I've been saying this for 3 years. Now, he's the highest paid on this roster. Is that going to be something that comes to fruition at some point? A departure of Jamal Murray and the Nuggets? I know, it sounds ridiculous, and you guys are yelling at your radio stations right now, or your radio. But, nonetheless, it's still keeping things interesting. The Nuggets are still in third place in the Western Conference. They have the tiebreaker over the Clippers. They're in third. The Lakers moved up to fifth. So, as of right now, it would be Nuggets. It would be Jazz Mavericks. It would be Phoenix Lakers. It would be Nuggets Clippers in the first round. Who would you rather play, the Clippers or the Lakers at this point? Whew. It's a very interesting concept, isn't it? Excuse me, I'm off on that because I was looking at just the top six. It would be, the Clippers are in fourth. Okay, I thought they were in fifth. It would be Nuggets and whoever holds on to that. Yeah, seventh seed, right? Or sixth seed, Mavericks. Yeah, okay, there we go. Screwed that up. But, Colfax, another brand new edition, episode number one of...
As the Western Conference in the NBA turns. Starring Nikola Jokic as the Joker. And Michael Porter Jr. with supporting cast... Faku Campazzo, brought to you by the Tears of LeBron James. Don't miss today's episode, starting now.
Oh, man, I could just see, like, Joker with a slow turn there. Hey, and filling in for Jamal Murray, you know how they would just do that? What are the soap opera, right?
Yes.
Like an actor would just move on with their lives and they just say, standing in for Philip Ontabo is, and then they just, oh, they're just going to replace that character with this actor now. Like halfway through the episode. Did Billy have to go get groceries or something? The reason I know this is my grandparents watched soap operas all the time. All the time. And the thing of it is, you could watch one episode, come back 2 months later, and they've only moved an inch in the storyline. I'll never forget, though, my wonderful grandfather. God rest his soul. I'd sit down. This is a farmer, man. This guy, his hands were like curved over from the hard work that he did on the farm. Horseback riding. I mean, this was a cowboy. Everywhere he'd go, you know where he was going because his hat. He hung his cowboy hat on a hat rack, and then he'd go in the building. He was all old school. But the older he got, the more into the soap operas he became. And I'll never forget coming home from, like, I'd eat at their house during lunch a lot of times when I was working in the summer for, like, city jobs and stuff my senior year. And I'd come in, I'd sit down, And my grandpa would just, I just sit down and eat, and he'd just look over me and he would say, see, this one here, this girl here, she's a mess. She's a mess. You got to watch her, all right? You watch her. And this guy, I used to like him, but lately, I don't know. And then the thing of it is, like 3 weeks later, my friend comes over to eat lunch with us, and I'm going, this girl here, you got to watch her, man. She's awful. Yeah, so I'm doing the same crap. Anyway, this is a lot like the Western Conference standings. A lot of drama. So I guess we're going to see, because so right now, Colfax, this is why it's so interesting. Guess where Golden State is? They're sitting at eighth. They moved back up. They're in eighth right now. Still a play-in game. The Nuggets have officially clinched the playoffs, by the way, so they are not in jeopardy of being in that play-in game at all. But so now it's the Jazz holding down the fort at number one, 47-18. They're now four games ahead of the Nuggets. The Suns are 46-18. They are 3.5 games of the Nuggets. So they gained a half game last night by the Nuggets losing. The Nuggets are holding on to that spot, number three. And then it's the Clippers at four, Lakers at five, Mavericks at six. The play-in games would feature Portland, Golden State, Memphis, and San Antonio. So San Antonio and Memphis would play each other. Losers out. Portland and Golden State would play each other in one game, which would be a lot of fun to watch. And winner moves on. Loser has to play the winner of that first matchup there. So get ready. Western Conference is going to be really hot. Pete texting in, regular season, yes. Crunch time, which is different. Okay, talking about Jamal Murray. Who gets you points from primary ball handler? No one. They are not. So he's saying, no, they're not better without Jamal Murray on this team. Eastside Chris, have to retract my yesterday Hooligan headline. Dewey wins, Nuggets get riddled. Dixon, what do we got? That was kind of creepy, just saying. What the? That I loved it, man. You clearly don't watch enough soap operas, Dixon.
As the Western Conference in the NBA turns. Starring Nikola Jokic as
it's not
Joker.
Creepy, Dixon. It's compelling and stuff. And just like a regular soap opera, nothing is really resolved for like several weeks. We're going to keep going into this mode with the last, you know, six or seven games here. About 2.5 weeks left in the season. 18 minutes after the hour. We'll talk more Nuggets. We'll talk more about the NBA, the Western Conference. Our poll question, we'll fire it up some more. Excited to bring on a brand new guest to the show in the second hour. Ben Golliver, an NBA writer for the Washington Post, wrote a book called Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. I haven't read the whole thing, but there's a lot of really compelling stuff in here about how it all went down at Disney World, his story going into it. It's not really just like a reporter's take on it. It's his. I mean, he was one of the only media members allowed in, so it's a really fascinating story. I mean, he gets into all of it, because while they were in the bubble, the world outside kind of was on fire, wasn't it? I mean, COVID, the protests, the police issue, all of it was crazy. So there was that. There was the actual games. Believe it or not, we're going to talk about the actual games. And I mean, it was intense, memorable. Will the bubble experience go down as one of the most memorable sports series in history? I mean, there's been some great games, but this whole sequence of going to the bubble to play, I mean, great Olympic moments too, but 20 years from now, are we going to remember that this happened? Or are we just going to be like, oh yeah, the Lakers won in 2020? Or are we going to go, yeah, that was that weird bubble year, man, when the member COVID took over? And or are we going to be like, no, that vividly we recall it? I don't know. I honestly was reading the book and I'm like kind of reliving those moments that I've already put away. Going, oh, wow, yeah, that was happening. That was going on. Okay. So I actually kind of think it'll dissolve, but we'll still look back and go, that was the bubble year. 19 minutes after the hour, we will talk to Drew Kreisman coming up next about the Rockies getting set for their doubleheader today. See if they can get back on the right track. They are sitting at 10-18. They got the Giants. They postponed the game last night because of the rain, of course, and doubleheader starting at 3 o'clock here on 1310 KFGR. Coverage starts at 3. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Thirteen days, 13 teams. Preps Baseball Training Camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It is May the 4th. Happy May the 4th to Drew Kreisman. Not, we're going to talk Rockies at some point, I'm sure. Maybe. I don't know if we'll fit it in. Drew, I've got your list pulled up in front of me, man. I haven't even opened up the comments yet. But you've your rankings of the Star Wars films. How has that been received so far?
So we're making people mad today.
You don't make enough people mad with Rocky's takes. You have to ruin their day with Star Wars takes too.
That's exactly
Drew.
Right. I don't get quite enough heat for all the Rocky stuff. I feel like, you know, it's been a little bit tame lately.
Yeah.
What with the grand total of 2 road wins.
Yes.
So, you know, team's on fire. Hard to come at me for that. So
That's
yeah,
true.
Sure. I like The Last Jedi. Get over it. I thought it was great.
I got to tell you, I never have hated movies. Like some of the people like really come at The Last Jedi. Some of them come at some of these. I never watched them. I don't see why. I do kind of step back and go, I don't see why everybody hated it that much. It's interesting.
I mean, you know, they're toys for kids, right? Like, look, I love Star Wars. I really do. I would not as much as some people, clearly, but yeah. Hating a Star Wars movie seems so strange to me. They're all so fun and full of joy and wonder, and it all seems so oddly wrapped up in, like, a false nostalgia for the old movies. And look, I think the old movies are great, but when people start be like, well, it's not my Star Wars, that's going to lead you into nonsense. Get over yourself, man.
Yeah.
There's no continuity. They thought he kissed his sister in the original trilogy. They didn't know they were going to be related. George Lucas was making it up as he went along. Get out of here with your continuity complaints, Star Wars fans.
What you just said is one of my biggest issues with Star Wars. It's like nobody ever acknowledged that he kissed his sister. Like, is anybody going to say anything? Like, who's going to be the guy to step up and say that?
Love triangle for 3 movies, and 2 of the people are related to each other. That doesn't, come on. They didn't know he was making it up.
Oh, that's so
okay.
Great.
It's fun. It's supposed to be.
Well, that's the thing. It's, you know, sci-fi, it's fantasy, it's all made up. It's not like, well, that's based on history in the late 70s and early 80s. That's not how it's supposed to. I mean, it's still made up.
Not how the Force works, Brady. Don't you know how the Force works?
I'll admit, sometimes I've been snobby. I was snobby about the Hobbit movie. I was a little snobby
there. I was, too.
But that was the main reason there was because I felt like they Hollywooded it up. Like, they got a dwarf that looks like an elf that's dating an elf. And I'm like, all right, that's kind of where I'm drawing the line.
You know, mount on this. It did not need to be 3 of them. I'm
oh
with
my
you.
Gosh,
CGI'd
no.
it up instead of all the practical effects. I'm with you on that. Like, there's a line and stuff, but... You know, it's like, yeah, when people get into the Star Wars stuff and when it's about, like, what specifically happens, it's like, well, Luke Skywalker would never do that. Dude.
Get older, man. Things change, you know? I
right?
mean, we all change. Can you tell us your number one, or do you want to just direct people to your Twitter? I don't care. Either way.
I will. I'll tell everybody the number one, and they can go and find the rest of the list, but and get mad at all of that, too. But Rogue One, I'm a big Rogue One guy, and I'm actually just a sucker for that particular trope of, like, the side story of heroes that nobody knows their name, but without them, the mission never would have went forward. Like, that's my jam. And I thought they did that very, very well. And I enjoyed that.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. That was, and it was so unique too, because it's the it's one of the most important missions in the whole thing, and it's kind of like what leads up to it. And I'm kind of with you there. I don't know that it's a constantly rewatchable for me because I know the ending. Because
sure.
I'm like Breaking Bad. I loved Breaking Bad. It's hard for me to go back and watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Not exactly a crushable show in that way, but
yeah.
It's like, yeah. You know, I've always said that the best thing about Star Wars is that it exists and that all of the things are there. It's just the original invention of all the ideas and that you get to play in it. So anytime you guys, kind of like with The Mandalorian, where you can get away from the central Skywalker saga where they feel like they have to tell this story about this family and the people around them or whatever and the characters everybody loves, but where you can just have like the things like the Force and lightsabers and, you know, Mandalorians and stuff like that. That's the stuff that I think makes it really, really cool. And so those side stories, I think, are really good.
No, expanding the world, expanding the universe, I think,
yeah.
I think it's really cool. Speaking of the Force, do you think Bill Schmidt will have enough Force to yeah, there we go. There's that transition we've been looking for. To keep the job, or is this in fact going to be an outside search like I think we all want? I know you tweeted that out as well. Can Bill Schmidt, can he earn this job?
I don't think Bill Schmidt wants to earn this job specifically, to tell you the truth. I think that them putting him in there is the clearest sign we've gotten publicly that they will be going outside the organization for a permanent answer to this question in the off season, because Bill Schmidt wants to be the scouting director. He's been the scouting director for 21 years. You know, he doesn't have like future plans of going on to be a GM one day, like maybe some of the other people who are in contention might want to do, you know, like a little younger, a little more analytically driven, a little more inclined to maybe swing some trades, do whatever. So my two big takeaways from the Bill Schmidt thing were, one, you know, he's really not the guy to wheel and deal. So I don't know that we're going to see a ton of action at the deadline. Maybe, I don't think it rules it out, but he's, you know, more focused on the draft and developing young players and doing those kinds of things. And maybe that does mean he's scouting other teams, you know, farm systems for the right guy to get for Trevor Story. You never know. But still, the biggest one is he's definitely an interim guy. Even if he oversees a really nice couple of months here where the Rockies crush it in the draft and do make best of the trade deadline and kind of set a direction and do whatever, I still think he goes back to being in charge of drafts, which is what he's done for the last several years, and that type of scouting. And the Rockies will go outside and have a full search. I mean, they're already kind of beginning their search. They've been in touch with a number of people, some of which are very exciting, one of which scares the hell out of me.
Go on.
Anyone but Ruben Amaro Jr. Anyone, not anyone, but Brady, you before Ruben Amaro Jr. for sure.
Yeah, I have some ideas.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Well, yeah, and again, I think when I talked about this last week, I was like, I don't care who it is, just get an outside hire. But you're right, there are limits.
That's right. You should care a little bit who it is. just a little bit. Yeah.
I just think it's so important, and based on what you just said, it does sound like that's the route Dick Monfort's going to go, this organization's going to go. It just seems so important, because even though it kind of worked out for Breidich for a moment, you know, they go to back-to-back playoffs, at the end of the day, it's Dan O'Dowd, it's Jeff Breidich, you know, Rosenthal, if that was the route they were going to go, we're just recycling, and maybe they all have unique ideas, but they also were kind of brought up by certain guys. And I just think there comes a point where you, even John Elway did it. You have to bring some outside eyeballs in to the organization that's viewing your team, your program, not from inside. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And I think there are actually a couple of like best of both world candidates out there, because I've always said, you've also got to be careful about bringing in someone who's really smart at baseball, but has never really thought about Coors Field for more than, you know, huh, that's kind of interesting. But like, it's a very complicated and unique problem that I don't think you can just take, say, hey, well, here's what I did that was successful in, you know, this place, and I'm just going to take it to Denver and I'm going to do exactly that. You know, there has to be a plan for particularly how to win here. But there's some guys like Thad Levine's name has been out there. He's been overseeing things in Minnesota for a while. And he has worked in Colorado before. So again, that's kind of the best of both worlds, right? He's like, he's been here, he's seen it, he's thought about it, he's worked in it for a number of years, but he's also been away for more than a decade doing other stuff. And so he can bring both a fresh perspective, but not someone who's totally new to the problem of Coors Field and altitude and all of that stuff. I would desperately like to see them get Clint Hurdle back involved in this thing. And I think there's a possibility there, you know, and I can't really go too much into the details on what I know and don't know about that, but I just, that's something that I really, really think could go a long way toward restoring both Rockies fans' faith in where the organization is headed and legitimately, again, give them somebody who's got the best of both worlds, who's a forward thinker, who's a great face for the franchise, who understands Coors Field, but who hasn't been here since 2009. So, you know, it kind of counts as both, and yeah, there are a few of those people out there that I think are interesting.
I think that's a great point, too, because Clint Hurdle I think he would be the best of both worlds because it's an outside perspective that had some inside perspective, and you're right, that changes a lot. Not being involved with the Rockies since 2009 does make you become an outsider at that point, so I think there's an opportunity there with that name. And the simple fact that you bring it up and say, hey, I can't divulge too much, I'm reading you loud and clear, my friend. I won't even press you any further on it.
Appreciate that. May my Jedi mind trick. You have no further questions.
I love it, man. All right, so Rockies going at a doubleheader. Expected that game to be postponed yesterday. What do you say? The Rockies get into double digits, so I'm pretty excited about that. They got 10 wins, and as you said,
go.
They got 2 wins on the road now. So just hang on. Hold on to your butts, as Samuel L. Jackson likes to say.
Right. Jumping universes. I like that. Still John Williams. Still
yes.
Composer John
yes.
Williams, though.
Yes.
So we're solid there. Yeah, I wrote in a series wrap I did. You know, it'll be interesting to see. Rockies has just been destroyed by the Dodgers and Giants so far this year. They actually have a winning record against everybody else. But the Dodgers and Giants just beating them up. And they've played the Giants on the road twice. And the Giants have had this, like, really, really hot pitching. And, hey, it's like, welcome to Coors Field. Let's see what happens now. I'll be very curious to see how that goes. They get a little bit of a break now with the, you know, the 7-inning doubleheaders. That's 4 innings that they're less that they're going to have to pitch at Coors Field. But the Rockies offense has shown an ability at times, especially at home, to break out and get hot and do some things. I think we're still waiting for and expecting to see the best of both Charlie Blackmon and Trevor Story. Meanwhile, I think we're seeing exactly what we're going to see out of Raimel Tapia forever and ever. This is just who he was in the minors. This is the Raimel Tapia experience. This is just translating straight over, not striking out, not hitting for power hardly ever, but just being on base 3 times a game, you know, scoring a bunch of runs, doing the thing. And so I think they do actually have an opportunity to win some ball games, especially at home. They're starting to get ramped up. They see St. Louis. They know they're about to head out to St. Louis. Josh Fuentes' cousin plays for them now.
Oh, yeah, some guy. I can't pronounce his name. It's hard to.
I can't remember what it was.
Oh, man. So, hey, how about some injury updates for us? Have you heard anything? I keep wondering about Kyle Freeland.
Yeah. No, I mean, they keep giving us, like, updates that have, like, no time thing. It's like he threw off the mound today and he threw 45 pitches and we're like, dope.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, yeah, I think he's close. You know, it's been similar with Brendan Rodgers. They've been saying like a couple of weeks since the start of the season, really. And you know, I understand you want to be precautious with those guys who you do hope to be a big part of your long-term future, and there's no need to rush them back to pick up W's this season. You know, they're probably not going to win a lot of games, and so it is what it is. But I'm with you on that. I'm starting to wonder as well, like, even just from a team fun watching perspective, they could use the shot in the arm, the vaccine, if you will. It's just that time. It's too easy. It was right there.
There's too many things for today. We have so many things we can use, man. Star Wars Day, all that.
I better get a Star Wars. I'm going in tomorrow, but it's close enough for my second one, and I better get that Star Wars Band-Aid. They better have one.
They may be out after today, man. I don't know. All right, so we got Marquez pitching tonight. Interesting news on who – or tonight, first game. Interesting news on who's pitching the second game.
Yeah, going Ryan Castellani, which was interesting. You know, there was some in the rumor mill that they might go for the MLB debut of Ryan Rollison. Fans will have to wait a little bit for that, though I do think, you know, he's the top pitching prospect for the team. He will debut at some point this year. You know, this is one of those really weird things about that still lingering from the pandemic that I guess we are still technically in here, is that, you know, the no minor league seasons. And so when a guy's not on the major league roster, Ryan Castellani showed up to spring training this year looking like he never thrown a baseball before in his life. I've been one of the guy's biggest defenders. I think he's got a lot of talent. He's always been a longer-term project, a little bit raw, or a lot going on in his delivery. We saw him in his rookie season battle. I was impressed with him. But when he showed up to spring training, I mean, he had an inning where he, you know, I think he walked the bases loaded on, you know, like 15 straight pitches. It was ridiculous. It was like he just could not find the strike zone. He's been at the alternate site, and I don't know what that means because there's not minor league baseball. There's not a stat line I can check, a box score, no video. He's just been out there throwing, so it's just whoever's been watching him apparently thought he's the best guy to step in for this spot start, and I just, from one human being to another, you hope and pray that young Ryan Castellani, who's a great guy, has figured out whatever was going on in spring training, because when you can't find the strike zone, that's just the worst thing in the world to do, to watch. Everybody hates it. And the other team's offense doesn't even particularly like that. Like, you know, you hope he comes and he brings his good stuff and he looks more how he did when he was working into a solid groove for the Rockies a year ago. If not, you know, it's probably just a one-time-out thing and you're going straight to Chacin, which a lot of people thought he was maybe going to start the game anyway. And yeah. Yeah.
Well, if anything, it'll be interesting. Again, doubleheader coverage. We got coverage here at KFK starting at 3 o'clock. Drew, always appreciate your time and your insight, my friend. And as they say in the May days, May the 4th be with you.
And also with you.
I was waiting for it. Drew, appreciate you, man. Nailed it, as always. And, yes, go check out Drew's Twitter and give him a hard time on that list. If you, I like that. I have no issue with lists. I mean, it's your personal preference. So all the power to you, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a blast, Brady.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon. Drew Kreisman, DNVR Rockies. He does have the list up. Number one is Rogue One for Star Wars. Colfax, you're not a big Star Wars guy, so you... This list doesn't make any sense to you, does it? I'm not even that big. Like, I didn't grow up watching Star Wars, so it didn't really do anything for me. I watched it in my adult life, and my wife's like, you never watched Star Wars? So we watched the ones in the 70s and 80s, and I watched them, you know, as like a mid-20-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the older ones when I was but a child, and they were fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they transformed my life, but I liked them. I still like them.
Yeah, they're fine for me. Like, they're not my favorites. Yeah. I'm not a diehard Star Wars dude, but, you know, fits on and somebody says, "Hey, you want to watch one of the Star Wars movies?" I'm down to watch it. But I'm not going to probably go out and choose it. And then when a new one comes out, I'll go watch it.
And see, I haven't seen any of the new ones. The last new one I saw was probably the one with young Anakin.
Oh, yeah, and like that one was tough. That kid's from that guy's from Fort Collins. You know that?
The kid.
Really? Yeah, he was pretty rough. But they were all pretty rough in that movie. Like, there were some good actors in that movie, and they weren't that great.
I guess I was too young to even care. I just liked. Well, it was fun.
And again, I watched them. You know, recently. Yeah. You know, a couple of years ago, I watched them for the first time, and I was like, boy, the acting is a lot different than the ones now that they just came out with the last 5 or 10 years have been pretty good. So. I liked him anyway. He said, "Chris is talking about your soap opera intro. I would like to hear, like, sands through the shot clock. So goes the," and then get something else.
"Like sands through the hourglass,
yeah.
And like the rotation of the earth, so goes the Western Conference in the NBA. Brought to you by the Tears of Lonzo Ball."
Yeah, that was last year's, wasn't it? Or was that 2 years ago?
I think that was 2 years ago.
Because we didn't do the watch because we didn't know what the hell to expect in the bubble.
It was crazy. Yeah, it wasn't very dramatic.
It wasn't very dramatic. But last year was the bubble. Bubble Ball. We're going to talk to Ben Golliver, the writer of Bubble Ball. It's available today. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, you name it. It's a very interesting read. A very, very interesting read. Like I said, I got through about 75% of it. So I didn't get through all of it. Just got the book like Thursday, I think. And Colfax, it takes me more than 3 days to read a book. We're talking more like 3 weeks. 42 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
It's like Eastside Chris was reading your mind, man. This is from 2 years ago. You guys are on the same page when it comes to promos that we do. Or fun things that we mess around with here. I love it.
Was Eastside Chris even listening back then?
I don't think so. I think he was like a fairly new listener within the last year or two, yeah. Which, hey, he gets it. That's why it was an instant hooligan, Colfax. I do want to thank Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte for bringing us Top Text Tuesday. You can get a free mini cooler just by calling the folks over at Fresh Coat. Get a free painting quote as well, 970-414-4131. That's Fresh Coat Painters. Top Text Tuesday. Rolling on here, our first Advantage text line. It's 970-478-1301. Got that cool-looking Broncos picture with that glass and that oak frame around there. Perfect for, you know, the man cave. If you have the pool table, put that up nearby. I mean, it's going to look sweet. You plug it in, it lights up. It's great. So in the running to win this bad boy, we've got Noob and Pillow Fight Dan. They each have one. We started the competition 2 weeks ago on this one. We'll see if you guys can stack up. Can Dixon become the three-time champ? If he becomes the three-time champ, it's going to be so hard to dethrone that guy.
Yeah, if ever. I mean, we should almost just stop doing it.
Right.
Because
he keeps winning all the stuff.
What's the point?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few other winners outside. I think three other guys have won. We just started this less than a year ago. So, I mean, it's, you know, we want to see if you guys can dethrone Dixon. He won the last one. And he has two. He has two of the prizes. We are decorating his man cave. Just that's us alone. We have created a bunch of cool things for his man cave.
I mean, the best part is that McCaffrey football. Hopefully he has to look at that every day and be like, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He respects it, but it's the Broncos. But it's UNC Broncos, but, you know.
He fears it, too.
He does fear
it. He fears it. You fear what you don't understand. All right, 49 minutes after the hour. We do have to take a break, Colfax. We've been blowing through the clock today. Got to catch up. Again, we're going to talk to Ben Golliver, Washington Post NBA writer, but also he wrote Bubble Ball, Inside the NBA's Fight to Save a Season. I think this book was really, really interesting, just the process in which he went through and then everything surrounding the bubble. It was way more than basketball. 50 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. A lot to get to in the second hour. Don't go anywhere. The whole show, powered by PDC Energy, continues.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Colbex, we have our latest Whole review out. And we did Matador Mexican Grill in Fort Collins off of Harmony. Near where the Roadhouse is and Old Seas. I'm getting some pushback on it, on the review. I loved the food. I want to be very, very clear, because Paul's a great guy, the owner. He welcomed us inside, and he gave us I should be mad at him, because he let us try this hot sauce called Olaf. Oh, my gosh. It was rough, dude. I do not do well with that hot of hot sauce. I'm a mild guy, medium.
I never would have guessed that looking at you.
I look like a guy that handles some spice. It was rough, dude. That was rough. The burrito we had was awesome. There's like a sauce. It's like a fat tire sauce. It's actually made with fat tire.
Right, because that's one of their things there is that they make their own hot sauces,
mm-hmm.
Right?
They make their own hot sauces. Yep. They're a big time burrito. It's like, honestly, it's kind of like a Chipotle a Qdoba type place.
Kind of walk up, pick out your fillings.
Put your ingredients in. Yep. So my review, we do a scale of 1 to 10. I do it with Chad Young, the owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square. And, you know, we mess around, we goof around, but at the end of the day, we kind of measure a few different things. The food, the ambiance, the service, you know, is there music? What kind of music is playing? So you're going to have to go check it out. We have all the reviews available at theholeshow.com. Of course, social media, we've got you rocking and rolling on that too. But getting some people thinking I gave it too low of a rating. So, hey, this is how this thing goes. Not everybody can be a 10. Colfax, I've never been. Have you ever been to a 10? Have you ever been to a 10 restaurant or brewery even?
No, I haven't.
Because to be a 10, you got to have the perfect beer, the perfect food, or if you're a restaurant, the perfect beverage, whatever.
Yep.
Perfect setting.
Yep.
You know, it's you love it. I mean, it's hard to be a perfect 10. I don't know that I'll ever come across one in any of these whole reviews. I really don't.
I'm thinking there's not.
I've had food that might go to 10.
Yep.
I've had the setting might go to a 10, but I don't know that combined you go there.
Together.
So just to give you an idea, 10 is like, that's life-changing. It's the best place you've ever been, and you'll go there for the rest of your life. 9's really good. 8's good. Okay, maybe there's a couple of things that I didn't like about it, but overall, it's amazing. You get to 7, and it's like, yeah, they were king at this, kind of secondary in this area. 6 and 5 are kind of like, there's a few things I like about it, but overall, maybe it's not my cup of tea. Once you get below 5, you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Stay away.
Stay away from at least. And again, I don't know that we'll run into 5s either. We're trying to highlight places that hooligans suggest. So I, believe it or not, trust some of the hooligans. So if you guys tell me to go to a place, I'm going to trust that it's okay. So if you guys ever want to shoot me a suggestion, go ahead on the First Advantage text line. It's 970-478-1301. It's got to be Northern Colorado, though. You know, Loveland, Greeley, Fort Collins, and all the surrounding areas, too. I'll go out to Eaton. You know, we'll head out. If KFKA, if you can hear KFKA in that area, we'll go. Like, that's where we'll go. That's Northern Colorado. Any suggestions, Colfax? We might try Fonta's Pizza.
Okay. Yeah, down south there.
Yeah, I've never tried it before.
It's good.
That's one we're getting suggestions for.
Old school. I've been there a long time.
We do breweries, tap houses, restaurants, kind of, so far. That's what we're doing.
Right. I'm trying to think.
There's not a ton of local
restaurants
and
bars. Do you do just a bar,
we'll
even if they don't have food?
I would do a bar.
Just like a hangout spot?
Yeah.
I would suggest Key Largo Lounge.
Okay.
Here in Greeley.
Is that?
It's out west a little bit on 35th and 10th.
Hey, we'll give it a shot, man.
It's great. It's in a little shopping center. It's easy to overlook.
I'll write it down.
I personally
like it.
Yeah,
Key Largo.
Write it down. It's a bar.
Okay. Now, you know, if the drinks are great and if the ambiance is good, then we'll roll with it. So shoot me a suggestion. I like that. There's another one. Got plenty of time. We're going to do tons of these things. So Nixon says, thought the Den was already up for next review. We're still going through a few of the pieces of paperwork that we got to get done. All right, second hour coming up next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.